Well, this is our fourth week of virtual shutdown and third actual where we've done a study here via the internet on virtual recording instead of being in the church on that first week. And my name's Kevin Lee, and we're going to pray that you can join us for this Bible study today that is actually recorded on Saturday afternoon, April 4th. Some of it's going to be a repeat of the services that we've recently done, the last couple, three services that are posted on our website at calvarypo.org. You can also go to YouTube and just search on Calvary Church of Port Orchard YouTube station, and you can come to the videos, and it's also at our website. We also have downloadable MP3s. And the title of today is What You're Going to Do When He, Jesus, Doesn't Come For You. Our recent studies for our church have been to discuss the biblical truth that someday God is going to come and take his believing church, truly believing church, off of this planet. And what that's going to do is have people that are left behind. And the mission of this study is for those people that have been encouraging their unbelieving, currently unbelieving friends to maybe study the Bible with them or come and listen to our Bible studies, either listen or watch the YouTube, is to kind of leave a last will and testament, a last message. It's kind of like those movies where somebody's sitting in front of a camera and says, if you're watching this, it's because I died. Well, we haven't died. We are gone. And we were happily kidnapped, happily taken hostage by our Lord and Savior Jesus, where he took us to heaven, and you've been left behind. So this service is going to just start by explaining again, repeating scriptures that we've done for our church a little bit quickly of what happened to us, what the Bible says is going to happen to us who believe in the last days. And then it's going to be helping you if you refuse to believe in Jesus before that event does occur, because if you believe before, then you're going to join the church and you're going to be raptured along with us. But if you're still skeptical, you still are questioning. People tell you not to listen to people like us, like me. And you believe that. And yet the event happens, and the things I'm going to tell you in this service based on the Bible are going to be happening. And you start to realize, wow, those things that those crazy Christians said before they were taken away seem to be coming true. Maybe I should, even now, after it's too late for the rapture, maybe now I should get down on my knees and confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. It's going to be a tough road for you to do that. You're going to be killed for it, but as we'll explain here in the study. But that's really the mission today, is what you're going to do when he doesn't come for you. Well, I hope it's going to be, big picture, I hope it's going to be that you find your Bibles, pick it up, and start reading it, and realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you should do what's right and acknowledge that to God and ask for his forgiveness, which he's made totally available through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we're basically begging you to be saved before this event. And it's not like so that you can skip the tribulation. I mean, it's not that we're saying we don't want you to, we're trying to save you from the events that are coming during what the Bible calls the tribulation period, and actually months and years possibly that are leading up to that tribulation period of 7 years. What we're really doing and have been doing for 2,000 years is begging people to escape the wrath of God that comes by living a life apart from God in rebellion against him and not humbling yourself, repenting and turning to Jesus as your Savior so that you can have eternal life. That's what we're really trying to convince you. We'd love to see it happen before the rapture, but we would also love to see it happen after the rapture if you reject this information now. So last week we talked about, and you might ask, why is everybody talking about this now? Well, it's, our last study was, is it time for us to be looking up? And you can watch that YouTube video too if you'd like. And it's just showing that we as Christians this side of the rapture see the events that are leading up to the formation of global government, that this coronavirus plague that's upon us, real or imagined as far as its severity, doesn't matter. The people believe the hype, whether it's true or not. And we're all in lockdown, and they're starting to set up roadblocks in states to keep people from going to one state to another. They're starting to do databasing where people are being tracked by their phones. People that are being rebellious because they test positive, but they feel fine, and they don't, and they want to just be let go from the medical authorities. They're slapping, you know, tracking bans on them and stuff like that. That's happening that we would have never believed would occur in America are happening. And just let me go to an article here that will also just point out why we think that it is urgent. And so you should be able to see this article where it says, this is Wall Street Journal today. This is an article on April 4th. The coronavirus pandemic will forever alter the world order. This is written by Henry Kissinger, a major globalist, a person who believes the whole world should be turned into a global government. Nation states should go away. And then the subtitle is, the U.S. must protect its citizens from disease while starting the urgent work of planning a new epic, a new order, a new world order. So we protect our citizens of the disease, but we also move towards global governance. And here's another article from Henry Kissinger, you know, an article, this is actually whatdoesitmean.com, and they quote a younger Henry Kissinger that said, the New World Order cannot happen without U.S. participation, as we are the most significant single component. Yes, there will be a New World Order, and it will force the United States to change its perceptions. And we as Christians are seeing that this coronavirus is using to completely, radically change the perception of American population in a way that could not have been done in, there's no other way than to foister this pandemic upon us and get us to willingly, rapidly allow these changes that are just completely contrary to our entire history, our constitution, the way we think, and we're willingly being manipulated and changed in our way of thinking. Another globalist, Norman Thomas, said, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without ever knowing how it happened. And look at what's happened to us in a short period of time. We have completely changed the way we think. Americans are willingly taking helicopter money by the trillions. Businesses shut down. Pretty soon banks are going to be shut. I mean, we're being manipulated and changed in the course of a month. Imagine a month ago and where we are today. And we're being manipulated into this new mindset, and we, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So that's why we feel like it's urgent, is because we're not going to be here for the final formation of this new world order global government, according to the study that we had last week, that were, you know, the verses recorded in Daniel and other places. We're not going to be here for that as Christians. And so that's why we feel it urgent to share with you, it won't be long, we'll be gone. And why we want to say, you know, that we want you to have this last bit of information. Hopefully you'll listen and take it to heart if you don't join us now. So 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it's just going to explain where we've been. But I do not want you, Christians, in Paul's day, and really, he was speaking prophetically. God was giving him this inspiration to write this letter to the Thessalonians. But God knew it was really going to be for, you know, 2,000 years later generation, us. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in the past as believers, not getting raptured, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, when Jesus comes back to grab us, from this earth. Even so, God will bring with him those who slept in Jesus, their souls. All the Christians that have ever died for 2,000 years are going to come. Their souls are going to come with Jesus to come get us. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who sleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the souls are coming back with Jesus. And as soon as the trumpet of God sounds, the dead, the people who have died before us go up, then we go up. We covered this last week. And with the sound of our archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we covered that in detail last week to the church. And so what's your takeaway, though? For you, the unbeliever, when this happens, when this event happens, what's the takeaway? And first of all, one more thing that I forgot to mention to the church last week that's so important is in Luke 21:28, Jesus said, now when these things begin to happen, and he had rattled off, the disciples had asked him, Lord, when is this going to happen? When is the temple of Jerusalem going to be destroyed? What's the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so they asked him three questions. Jesus answered all those questions, told them how they would know when the temple was going to be destroyed by the Romans. When you see the temple surrounded by armies, know that its destruction is near. And he told them all these other things, the signs of his coming, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, all the earthquakes, all this stuff. And then he said, and the sign of your coming is going to be major cataclysms and where he will visibly return to earth. So then he said in Luke 21:28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because redemption draws near. And I want to emphasize, we are seeing the beginning, as we did last week, talked about, we're seeing the beginning of these signs, but I forgot to emphasize that there's people, and this is for the non-believer that's here watching too, there's people who think that us rapture people are wolves in sheep's clothing, that we're lying to you, that you shouldn't believe that there is going to be a rapture, a taking away of people that are alive are going to disappear someday. They don't want you to believe that. And because they don't think it's true. And because of the way they're looking at the Bible, by twisting things, quite obvious to me, I've looked at their arguments. And so I want to say this verse right here from Jesus. He says, when you see these things begin to take place, look up because he's coming to take us to be with him. He didn't say when these things are almost over. See, people say it's at the very end of the tribulation period that we're going to be taken to be with him, raptured to be with him. And which is what the word rapture means, is be taken away, from 1 Thessalonians 4 that we just read. And so Jesus says, when you see it beginning to happen, he doesn't say when it's after it's happening. So even Jesus is not a post-trib rapture person. He's not a mid-trib rapture person. Jesus taught pre-trib when he said, when you see them beginning to happen, look up because he's going to take his believers home. So to the unbeliever, I want to say that, again, we're going to be gone. There's going to be a day we're no longer going to be pestering you. We're no longer going to be saying, hey, why don't you read the Bible with me? Why don't you go to church with me? Why don't you watch our service on YouTube and all the other things that we've tried to do to pray with you, to get you to understand there's nothing more important in life than to get right with Jesus, to get your sins healed. The effect of sin is death, the Bible says. Only Jesus can take that death away because he took it upon himself and died on the cross for our sin. And so we'll be gone. We won't be dead and gone, as I said. We'll just be gone. We'll be snatched to our Savior's presence. And the world, you know, for years, Christians have been thinking, wow, what is the world's explanation going to be when this happens? You know, I don't really know. You know, and it's been portrayed in movies and other things. Planes will be crashing, cars will be crashing. And I thought, isn't it interesting? Because right now there are tens of thousands less airplanes in the sky today than there was a month ago. There are hundreds of thousands of cars that were on the road, you know, a month ago that are not on the road today. We're all sitting at home, and there's significant rumors going on this week that very soon there's going to be a major war that's going to be taking place. So we could be leaving at a time that's even possibly like this. Maybe it's so imminent that it's going to be like this, and I could disappear today. And if I didn't have family that would call me, they wouldn't, unbelieving family that would call me, they wouldn't even know. And there could be chaos in the streets in the ensuing weeks when the banks are closed, people are hungry, they didn't get their helicopter money to go buy food, or the QFC and Safeway are out of food. And people start going house to house and rioting and going inside of a house and ransacking. And so people, when they go look up loved ones that have disappeared, they might not even know that they disappeared. They'll just be thinking somebody drugged their bodies out and got rid of them or whatever else it is. But there will still be some people that will say, I was talking to this person, maintaining my social distancing. I was talking to this person, and even though he was greater than 6 feet away, I watched them disappear in front of my eyes. The news media might blow him off as crazy and making something up or whatever. I want you, the one who's watching this, to understand the unbeliever watching this because he didn't join us. It's the truth. It's really going to happen. The impossible for us to think about that people would visibly disappear, be raptured, taken up, just like Star Trek movie transporter room. People believe that, but they wouldn't believe that Jesus actually called us home and we disappeared in that moment in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be the truth. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, just below our closing part of chapter 4. It says, But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Day of the Lord, when Jesus really takes charge at the end of the tribulation, will come as a thief in the night to the unbelievers. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. So Paul had explained to the Christians, really us, as I said, that this would not be a surprise to us. And it's not. I mean, the events that are coming upon the world, pandemic, discussion of global government, discussion of global currency, discussion of everybody being chipped, which is what Bill Gates is doing in ID 2020 that I mentioned last week, the idea that he's going to chip everybody to make sure that everybody on the planet has a digital ID. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All those things are no surprise to us because we've been reading the Bible, and the Bible's told us these kind of things were going to come. It didn't say that we're going to be chipped. It says that a man's going to be able to control all the buying and selling of the world. Well, that requires some kind of now, nobody could have understood it until now. It would require a digital currency run by a centralized bank of the world that can turn on and turn off people's access to digital funds based on whether they're a compliant citizen or not. Never in the history of the world before computers was that possible. Now it is. So it's not a thief in the night thing to us. So what did Jesus mean in verse 2? For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So how can Jesus say this, oh, that we don't need him to say any, Paul to say any more because we know these things, but yet we don't because it's a thief in the night. Well, he wasn't, the thief in the night doesn't apply to us. It applies to you. It applies to you and the non-believer now and into the future who doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't believe biblical prophecy, doesn't see things coming. You're walking in the dark without a flashlight. You haven't got a clue when you bang into the wall. And so it says, because in verse 3, it says, for when they say, not we, the church, when they, the unbelieving world says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, meaning closer and closer together, chaos with more and more intensity to the pain. And they shall not escape. There will be chaos for years after we are gone. There could be some future wars, even the one that's, people are speculating is going to happen between America and China and also Iran and America. maybe Israel and, you know, Middle East war. You know, there's been wars for the last 2,000 years. They're going to be meaningless wars compared to the one that we're going to talk about in a while that leads to the fourth of the world's population, but dying. But there's going to be chaos in the world for years after we're gone. And there's going to be a time where when the world morphs from 190 nations that all have their weapons of mass destruction, for those that do, and, you know, ability rifles and AKs and M416s and all this other stuff, when they finally are forced to disarm as a plan to bring about a global government of 10 nations, as soon as that happens, and we're going to see it, I think, the time that this sleep in the night issue is coming up, when they see the Antichrist take over, the head of the global government, and bring about a peace, and people again are going to be in the new normal. There's going to be a new normal where they get digital cash, a new normal where they now have entertainment going again, and they're able to travel, and all the wars are cleaned up, that they're going to say, wow, finally, peace and safety with no God, because the New World Order is going to be no biblical, Jesus-loving God allowed. And anybody that believes and trusts in him as their savior are going to be vilified, killed ultimately for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So there's going to be chaos, but people are going to say peace and safety has finally come to the world. We've cast off God and we've cast off his commandments. Everybody believes in this global religion. Everybody get along. And they're going to say peace. Well, no, it's not going to be peace. There's going to be major cataclysm that happens as a result, as is defined in the book of Revelation. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, right there, Paul's saying a believer isn't going to be overtaken by these things because we know what the future is because we believe in God and his word. We read his word and we believe it. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. But as I said earlier, there's many churchgoers that would tell you, if you were to listen to this service, if you are listening and you go to some other church-going guy or woman and say, hey, this is what I heard from this Pastor Kevin Lee guy at Calvary Church of Port Orchard. Oh, don't listen to those rapture people, those prophecy people, those people that think that the Bible is inspired by, you know, don't listen to him. Rick Warren says, America's pastor Rick Warren says that we're not supposed to pay any attention to prophecy. Those guys are just fear mongers. They just make all this garbage up. And so, wow, they're in darkness. Why? Because they don't read their Bibles. They're unaware of prophecy and they've listened to false teachers. And I'd say many of them are not even saved. You know, again, the Bible talks about many people say they believe in Jesus. You know, didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name, Jesus? Didn't we go to church in your name? Didn't we hand out food to the homeless in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7. So when we're gone, anybody who's left behind, don't listen to them. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, and I would say compared to those who, you know, when Facebook and Amazon were just coming on the stock market, and some people would say, hey, you need to buy stock in Amazon, Facebook. And others would be around to say, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Go invest in Yahoo or something else. And you're wondering, man, who do I believe? And now you go, oh, if I would have listened to those people that said to invest in Facebook and Amazon and sold before the coronavirus crashed, I would have been a rich man, could have retired, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this, what we're telling you is a million times, it's infinitely more important than getting the right information about your eternal destiny. I, with the great fear of God, have spent 46, I said 47 last week, but I've been a Christian 46 years. 46 years of my life have been dedicated to learning and understanding the prophetic Word of God, as well as all the rest of Scripture. And I am begging with you, pleading with you, please don't take this light. It is time for you to get right with Jesus. Verse 6, Thessalonians, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. How do we watch? By reading and studying the Scriptures and believing God's prophetic word and being sober. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So I'm going to, first of all, speak to the believer. Are you watching? The believer is going to say, oh yeah, I'm watching. I'm paying attention. Are you staying sober? Are you getting drunk? There's a guy in our church that makes boxes for whatever, Amazon, everybody else. And he said, I was talking to him yesterday, and he was telling me, I asked him how the job's going. He's an essential worker because he's having to make an explosive increase in boxes for wine, because wine is just flying off of the shelf because everybody's hunkered down. They have no hope. They're wanting to drink away their sorrows, drink away their fears. And we're asking you, don't get drunk. Don't get high. Don't just sit on your couch and smoke marijuana and get inebriated and dull your senses. The Bible would say, get into the light, read the Word of God, get sober about your soul, which is going to last forever in one place or another. It's going to be forever in God with heaven, or it's going to be in hell, separated from God. That's not to scare you. It's just to tell you the fact of what the scriptures say. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And it's our love for you as an unbeliever is why we pester you about giving your life to Jesus, to put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. For God did not appoint us, the believer who comes to Jesus, which could include you, He did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we reject the salvation of God, then we by default receive the wrath of God. God wants to save us, but our sins separate us from Him. And it says the wages of sin is death, the wrath of God, to be dead and separated eternally from Him, because we didn't want Him to be the Lord of our life. We didn't want Him to rule, so we can't go to heaven if we rebel against Him. So to get to heaven, you have to stop rebelling against God and receive His forgiveness. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So we're supposed to comfort and edify one another with these words as believers, and we're trying to comfort you too as a non-believer. So let's turn to Revelation 6:3. We're trying to comfort you as a non-believer because, that you would just, if you're there and you're a non-believer, if you're watching, to just lay down your own life and to receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ, that you could live with Him forever. But if you don't, and then let's go to Revelation 6:3, because again, the advice is this is what's going to happen. After we're gone, there's going to be, we go in chapter 4 of Revelation that we talked about last week. Chapter 6 of Revelation is after we're gone. It's talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Very famous movies have been made about it. Hopefully you have enough biblical knowledge to at least know the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Apocalypse is a Greek word that means the unveiling, where God is going to unveil Himself. He's going to unveil His wrath is upon the world. After we're gone, He starts to put the wrath of God down on the earth, and it's going to be for 7+ years. It's not like we're gone and the last 7 years happens. It's we're gone, and then there's going to be the formation of the global government, ultimately culminating in 10 nations with a global leader. Might take years for that to happen. But what's going to make that happen is the chaos that comes as a result of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So before we get into that, though, and before we get into those scriptures, I want to tell you, the unbeliever that realizes Christians have disappeared from the earth, you no longer can contact any of your friends that were telling you need to believe in Jesus. What should be the first thing that you do as what you're going to do when He doesn't come for you? The very first thing that you should do is go to the home of your friends or family that were talking to you about Jesus and rummage their house. and steal every Bible, every DVD, Christian DVD, every computer they have, if you can hack in their password and find out what files they had about Jesus. Some people are even leaving left behind packets on their counter or in their rooms, for their friends. If you've been, if we are gone, here, take this information, a thumb drive with files. Do it all soon. The government will completely eradicate, outlaw Bibles, burn them, get rid of them, destroy computers, destroy all information about the Christian message. What will be happening? So you have to urgently get the information that you need. And you could even go to our website if it's not scrubbed immediately, calvarypo.org, go to sermon archives, go to MP3, downloadable MP3s, and download as many sermons as you can, hopefully on something that they can't track you with. Use somebody's phone. If you can hack into your friend's phone to get the password, then download it to the phone and use their phone. Don't use your phone because they'll be tracking you down for having done so. And you can shield the phone so it can't be tracked, but you can watch it, in a safe place. And the most important books to download are Daniel and Revelation, because that's going to be your future. Those two books. There's other stuff from other prophets too, but those are going to be the main ones. And so the first thing also that I want you to expect, first thing to do is to go get as many resources that you're going to need to start reading and getting on top of things. And the first thing to expect is that everybody that you now see is on the entire planet is now, at that moment, a non-believer. So there's not a single true Christian on planet Earth. So don't be surprised if you still see people who claim to be Christians. There might be, again, Rick Warren could be around. The Pope is going to be around. Joel Osteen, all these people have denied the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll say it when they're in front of the audience of people that are solid Christians. They'll spout off the words that are along with the Christian gospel. But then they go off camera, and what they're doing is completely contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be left behind that wear the collar, that called themselves Christian. So don't be deceived into thinking, wow, my friends disappeared that told me about Jesus, but these other people are here. So maybe my friends didn't disappear. Maybe they just went to a different state. Maybe they got lost. Maybe they got killed. Don't be deceived by that. There's going to be a lot of people left behind because they didn't truly believe. As we even discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, there's a verse in Revelation chapter 3, the Philadelphia church gets to be delivered from the wrath that's coming upon the world, the time to test the entire world, because they did not deny his name, Jesus. They didn't deny the name of Jesus, which means God's salvation. So people that say, any Christian, so-called Christian or collar wearer that says anything other than you must believe in Jesus in order to be forgiven and have everlasting life. That's what the truth of Jesus's name means, God's salvation. If they believe, oh no, you don't have to do that, they have denied the name of Jesus. And if they have not kept his word is that we teach that. We teach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they deny that, they deny the Bible teaches these things, they deny the Bible's teachings about revelation and prophecy and stuff, then it says you get to be delivered from the rapture if you didn't deny his name and kept his word. Well, there's a lot of people that don't keep his word, and they deny the meaning of Jesus, God's salvation plan. So, and you're going to expect that the 190 countries of the world today are going to be morphing into a 10-nation global empire. And there's some early moves to this, as we've already discussed, that are happening right now as a result of the coronavirus. But the final push is going to be because of war, pestilence, financial collapse, and famine. And the book of Revelation talks about that. So, again, Revelation 6:3 says, when he, meaning Jesus, opened the second seal of a scroll, he's in heaven, he's opening the seals of a scroll, unleashing his wrath on planet Earth. I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So there are biblical wars that are not fulfilled. This one doesn't give a specific war, but there's Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39. Again, if you get all that reading material from your friends, you can learn more about that. And if you download our MP3s that taught about it, or other people talk about Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39, Psalm 83, maybe those wars are going to happen while we're still here. But it's very possible those are going to be wars that are going to be happening in your era after we're gone, because peace is going to be taken from the world. So we're going to have a coming world conflict that is going to make all other, you know, World War One, World War II, everything else just seem like a walk in the park. It's going to be cataclysmic. And God is just going to allow Satan to come in and take peace from the earth. God, Jesus is going to pull away his restraining power, and people are going to be nuking each other and creating warfare. And again, the current saber rattling, people, you know, I'm hearing today news reports Iran has just taken its missile launchers and, you know, placed them all along the Strait of Hormuz on the west coast, you know, looking over the Strait of Hormuz, ready to take out ships. You have China getting ready for war. We militarily are getting ready for war. All this stuff, it's just preparation, which again might be our urgency, because if what is about to happen is the Revelation chapter 6 war, then we're going to be gone for that. So that's one of the things giving us urgency. And then verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius," which is a day's wage. So you get one quart of wheat, not hardly enough to live on. You get one quart of wheat for an entire day's wage, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So when war breaks out, here's the first thing that we're begging you to do, because if you haven't become a believer in Jesus, if you die in the war, you die and you will be standing before God without an attorney. And he's going to know everything that you've ever done and all the sins you've ever committed, everything that you've thought or said or done that's in rebellion against him. And you're going to stand before him and he says, "Hey, what did you do with my son Jesus?" And you're going to say, "Well, I didn't really believe in him." Okay, you have no attorney. And so now you're going to stand before me and you did all these things. You rejected me, rejected my law, hated me, hated my son Jesus as a result, because that's what happens when you reject God. And as a result, we can't let you into heaven, because otherwise all these other myriads of people that are in heaven that love us and love our law, you would corrupt them. You would corrupt the place they're living. So you're going to go to a place where I don't exist. You're going to get what you want. You're going to get a place where I, the God of love, do not exist. And so the first thing, you want to stay alive in the war, and you have to have enough food. So go store up food as soon as we're gone. If you haven't done it ready, you need to get food stored up in any way that you can, if you want to save your life so that you can see, well, I don't know. I mean, this war happens. Yeah, that's what those Christians said. Oh yeah, famine's coming. That's what those Christians said. But you're still not ready to humble yourself. So you're going to be hungry. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked and behold a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and the beasts of the earth. So a death of people on the earth like the world has never seen. And in fact, you know, right now, we're in a complete financial chaos in the globe, all because we're trying to keep a quarter of a million people dying from the coronavirus, which, again, the numbers that are actually occurring people getting corona and dying of corona are so orders of magnitude less than what they've been predicting for a month. Because, so again, it seems like we're being duped, but time will tell. And so again, whether real or imagined, we're in this condition that we're in. But imagine if we did lose a quarter of a million people. what a fourth of the world's population is the equivalent of 8,000 times a quarter of a million people, is what is going to be happening to this world, and you have to survive that time. And by the way, it also says that other things that happen after that, a third of the world's population dies. And so then you actually have to be a 50-50 survivor. You have to stay alive when half of the world's population is going to be killed. So, but right now, you only have to be part of the 75% that survives. And then verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And so lesson four, lesson one, two, three, and then four is that you would actually be part of this group. Because what God shows is that there's going to be massive war and death and destruction, and there's going to be a lot of people from that point, after shortly after we're raptured and they start to see these events, they're going to cry out to God for salvation. And for the next several years, people are going to be crying out to God. And so what God does is he lets us see in his prophetic word that this seal, part of this wrath of God, is showing that there's going to be souls that are going to come out of the tribulation period called tribulation saints. We want you to be part of that. Souls of those who have been slain for the word of God, because what's going to happen during the tribulation period is as soon as you give your life to Jesus, you are going to be persona non grata. You are going to be hated. You're going to be vilified. You're ultimately going to be killed. There is not, you're not going to be able to hide from the global government ultimately, and you'll be killed. And so we want you to be part of that. We want you to quickly get on your knees and just say, fine, I want to have eternal life. I don't care if I'm going to die for believing in Jesus. And verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And really, every time you see somebody evilly, an evil person beating up, wanting to murder, kill somebody, you, if you're not completely callous to the things of God, you're saying, oh, when is the cops going to come and just shoot him and take him down to stop this chaos and this murderous evil? Well, that's what the saints are saying up in heaven. They're saying, God, look at what's happening. They're slaughtering people that believe in you. And then what's the answer? Then white robes, verse 11, white robes, then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Yeah. Now, and you might think, why is God allowing this to continue to happen? And the answer is because when you see, if you still have a hardened heart, partway into the tribulation period or the times after the rapture, actually. But you see people that are believers in Jesus that are holding true to that confession, even though they're being executed, you're going to go, man, why are they doing that? Well, the reason they do that is because as soon as we give our life to Jesus, something real happens. And we have a heart that we know we're going to have eternal life, and we don't care what people do to us. Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill the body, rather fear him who has power over your soul. And so all of a sudden we fear God and we just want to love him. And we can't go to heaven. You know, we're dying to go to heaven. So we don't care about dying physically. And so that might touch your heart. And so God is, this whole thing is for God to harvest out of the world even more people, hopefully like you, who have been rejecting. But now the events that are coming upon the world will humble you, soften your heart, and give you a reason to believe and trust in Jesus. And so that's, it's the harvest. So God's saying, hey, I'm going to allow persecution to happen to my people because that's going to cause other people that are hardened to soften and to come to everlasting life. And that's the mission, is for him to get as many people as possible to by their own free will, trusting in him. So let's turn to Revelation 7:1, which says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having a seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice, to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. So turn to Revelation 11:3, the next place we're going to go. But the third thing to expect is that there will be 144,000 Jewish men who will be on the earth. And I think they might be just transported down to the earth, just like we were transported up and the witness of the church was taken off of the earth. I think that Jesus is going to transport down to earth 144,000 Jewish men. Other people think that there are Jews that are alive today, but it's hard for me to understand that, because when the rapture happens, all the Christians are taken. So how are there 144,000 Jewish men that instantly all of a sudden become believers in Jesus? And there's other terminology that we don't have time to get into that makes me think these people are transported down to replace us as witness people. So you're going to hear about these Jewish men going around testifying. They're going to be protected by God from cataclysms that are coming upon the earth. And you need to believe in this. So the third thing to expect is there's going to be these Jewish men. They're going to be giving a message of turning to God somehow. You know, it doesn't say exactly what they're going to be saying. But they're going to be known and they're going to be protected. And you need to listen to them. You want to believe and trust in what these 144,000 people mean. And during the time that they're here, another third of the world's population is going to be dying. And Revelation 11:3, it says the next thing to expect are these two witnesses that are definitely being beamed down to earth, and they're going to be in Jerusalem. And it says about these guys that you should be listening to. The world's going to hate them, but you want to listen to them. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. Right after, you know, basically soon after we're gone, these two witnesses are going to come. So they're going to be prophesying for 3.5 years. And it says in verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And that's, you don't have time, but Zechariah chapter 4 makes it clear. They're going to basically be in Jerusalem to make sure that the building of the fourth temple in Jerusalem for the Jews, for them to start sacrifice again, is going to happen. And nobody's going to be able to stop the building. There's going to probably be PETA people and others that are saying, you Jews can't build here. This is a Muslim site, or you Jews can't build here because you can't kill animals in your sacrificial system. And whatever people do to try and put a stop to it, it's going to not happen, because in verse 5 and 6, it says, and if anyone wants to harm them, these two guys, fire proceeds from their mouth. They can just call fire down on people and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of the prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. So again, you're going to be living in amazing times. I mean, there's going to be these two men that people are going to try and kill, and whoever tries to kill them is going to be annihilated. I mean, again, stuff that they make movies out of today, but it's going to be real life in your world. The world's going to hate these people. The Antichrist is ultimately going to kill him when he comes, you know, when he becomes possessed by Satan, as we're going to see here in a couple of verses. But you want to listen to them. So listen to the 144,000. Listen to these guys who will be prophesying in Jerusalem. Verse 7, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, Satan, possessing the Antichrist, will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So 3.5 years into the seven-year tribulation period, which starts when the world government comes to power, the Antichrist is ruling, and the Antichrist makes a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time. Halfway through that first half, these two witnesses are keeping anybody from messing with them. And then the Antichrist becomes possessed by Satan, changes his demeanor, and goes to kill all the saints, as we talked about last week. Or 2 weeks ago, and he's going to kill these two witnesses. And it says in verse 8, and their bodies, their dead bodies, will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. So during this time, even Israel has become like Sodom and Gomorrah and the rest of the world. And but they're going to be there to let the temple be built for plans that God has established. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the grave. So the whole world is going to be able to see two men that are witnesses of God laying dead in Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Not possible until global satellite communications and video cameras. And so for 2,000 years, absolutely impossible, crazy prophecy. Now it's totally doable. And at this point is where I think the world is going to be saying peace and safety. Finally, we worked our way through all these wars and death. A fourth of the world's population died. And we finally formed this world government to disarm the world so that we never have warfare again. Oh, that was good. And we've had all these cataclysms and these two prophets, these two people that say they're from God and telling people they have to repent. And we tried to kill them and they breathed fire on us. You know, praise be to Satan that now this Antichrist, you know, this world leader has killed these guys. And so now they're going to say peace and safety. Now we don't have to have their plagues upon us. It's going to rain again. They're going to say peace and safety, verse 11 through 13. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in the cloud and their enemies saw them. So they're going to visibly resurrect and ascend into heaven. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. And if you have survived to this point in the tribulation, the midpoint of the tribulation, and if you have been worn down on your rejection of God by seeing all these events that the Bible prophesied over 2,000 years ago actually happening, and you remember what we told you, even in this video, and you go, whoa, what am I doing? Why am I still rejecting this God who told us the future from the past? And he's told me I need to believe and trust in Jesus. And so I hope that you'll be one of those people. And that is the rest were afraid and gave glory to God. If you've held out till now, you don't want to hold out anymore. Because then it says in verse 14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. There will be a great woe on the earth. And it will be from then on, you know, they say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period are called the Great Tribulation Period, which we don't have time to get into. So then let's go to Revelation 14:6. Because now, you know, the church left. God took the church away. He left 144,000 and these two witnesses to be his witness people. Now the 144,000 are gone. The Bible has them in heaven at this point. You know, Revelation 14, they're in heaven. We're gone, so we're not there as a witness. The two witnesses have ascended into heaven. So now there's nobody on earth to witness the truth. And so what does God do? In Revelation 14:6, he uses angels. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. The fifth thing to expect, angels are God's final witness, and you must believe them. And he's saying, basically, don't worship anything but the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's what we're telling you today. This side of the rapture, this side of the wars leading up to the global government, this side of the 7-year tribulation starting when the Antichrist enforces a covenant with many people for a 7-year period of time, this side of wherever you are, we're saying, just worship the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. Verse 8, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The global government is going to be a godless, satanic, demonic possessed government that's going to be headquartered in a place they call Babylon. And what the angels are saying is they think their city is going to stand. They think their global government's going to stand. They think they can kick out God and his son, Jesus, and his law. They're going to go down. And again, America is great. We'll never be taken out. Look at what's happened to us in a month. And what the Bible predicts is there's man's going to try, but they're going to be put down by the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Verse 9, then the third angel followed them saying, with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on their forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, who is Jesus. Now, this is the most important. We skip chapter 13, where it says the global leader is going to force everybody to get a mark in their hand or their forehead, without which they will, and they're going to have to bow to an image of the Antichrist and worship him. If they don't do that, they will be forbidden from buying and selling. Again, Bill Gates and the globalists have a plan to database everybody in the world. I have articles at the end of the notes on this study that are going to be below below the YouTube clip and also at our website, this sermon, that show these articles that I don't have time to get into, that they're planning on chipping people, being able to control people. And those chips could be tied into the global banking system, electronic currency that's coming. And if you don't worship this future man and bow to his image and take his name in your hand or your forehead, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. You're going to die. And what we're saying is, who cares if you die physically? If you're born again, you're going to live forever spiritually, and you're going to get a new body when you resurrect. And so our final concluding emphasis is, whatever you do, if you've lived till now, which means you're pretty good staying alive, if you've lived till now, do not under any circumstance bow to the image of the Antichrist and take his name in your hand, or you will be forever damned in hell. Because to save your temporary life, you reject God and bow and worship a man. And then it says, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You'll be blessed when you die from then on, because you're going to die because you had faith in Jesus instead of believing and trusting the Antichrist and bowing to him. Instead of bowing to a man, you bow to the God-man, Jesus, who came and died on the cross for your sins. So, in summary, what you going to do when he doesn't come for you? Again, our hope is that this side of the rapture, however long that is, I don't think there's much time, but there could be months, years before we're gone. But if you don't come to Jesus before the rapture happens, then we pray right now, we're telling you to come and watch this video, that when you see these actual events taking place, because a prophetic word will come true exactly like the Bible says, when you see these events take place, you go, wow, there is a God that I must listen to. Get on your knees and worship him. We'll close with this encouragement for believers, which also extends to you. And the believer is, what you're going to do till he comes for you? There's a verse out of Titus, a section of scripture out of Titus that says this. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, including you, the unbeliever. The grace of God that comes for you has appeared to you because you've been told to listen, what I've told you, what your friends have told you. It's appeared to all men. And we're teaching, you know, teaching us that what we know about Jesus is teaching us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's what we, the Christians, should be doing until he comes for us. And we want to do that because we know that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life are empty pursuits of life. And then it says in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we should live soberly because we know Jesus is coming to take us home. We hope that you would join us before we get taken away. And if we're taken away, join us afterwards. It's going to be tough, but join us afterwards because he's still going to come for you at the end of the age, and he's going to take you to be, your soul to be in heaven if you bow your knee to him, even during the tribulation period, who gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself for us. For why? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work. He bought us back from the devil Satan, who owned us because we were slaves of Satan, lost in our trespasses and sins until Jesus set us free from sin, free from Satan. We don't work for him anymore. He bought us back by his shed blood, zealous for good works. And then it says in verse 15, speak these things, which we're doing, exhort, which means strongly encourage you to believe, and rebuke with all authority. Rebuke, if you reject Jesus, we you know, there's a rebuke associated with it. How could you reject a salvation that's offered so freely by Jesus? And let no one despise you. And, you know, we're despised by the world, but we don't let it bother us because we know we're not despised by Jesus. Don't let the despising of people change the way we think about our precious Lord and Savior Jesus. So, in summary, I hope this ministers to you, both the believer and the non-believer. For the believer, these things are coming to our non-believing friends, and they're going to be plunged into this time of chaos. And if we love them, we don't want that to happen. So not only do we want them to be saved from the wrath of God when they stand before God, when they ultimately die, but we don't even want them to have to go into the tribulation period. And if we're only here for a short period of time by all the evidence that we see around the world, then let's be about the business of God. And let's try and encourage our friends and neighbors that are still lost, as I know many of you are doing. All you believers out there who would happen to be watching this, I know you're doing that. Let's double down, because the game is almost over. It's not a game. That the time, our time to be able to be part of the harvest is almost over, because Jesus is about to take us home. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this time we've been able to ponder these things that are upon us and are going to be coming upon the world. And I know most people think we're absolutely crazy to be thinking these events would actually occur, but we know that your prophetic word, Lord, is the truth. And we know that you are not fake news, that your Bible is not some, you know, it's not being overseen by editors that determine what could and shouldn't be palatable to the masses, that you wrote it for our understanding, our learning of who you are and the events that are going to come upon the world, so that we could know that you alone are God, and as a result would turn to you and believe and trust in you. Help us to believe more, Lord. As the man said, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Help us to trust more. Help us to really see the day for what it is, and be willing to give our lives totally to you. And we pray for our unbelieving friends that they would be cut to the heart. They would humble themselves and come to saving faith while there's still time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. And may the Lord watch over you. And please do, while we're still here, contact the church website. If you have any other further questions, you can call me. The phone numbers of how to contact the church are on the church website. We can get hold of you. You can get hold of us. And really go to your Christian friends that are telling you these things and tell them, you know, I want to just know more. Sit down and give me the whole thing, and let's get on our knees and pray. That's my hope and prayer. God bless you. In Jesus' name.